AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NCAA tournament will begin on Thursday with some of the play-in games, and then Friday we have it covered for you all day and all night long. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday right here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. The seeds have been announced. The tournament is on. Of course, we have the odds over on FanDuel, and we'll be talking about that this week here on the show. But let's get to our headlines. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, as we begin the show here on this Monday, March the 15th, 2021. Drew Brees yesterday announces his retirement in the NFL. He's headed over to broadcast games on NBC. The Texans acquire Marcus Cannon and Shaq Lawson from the Miami Dolphins as they sort of rebuild their team. No surprise, Clayton Kershaw is going to start opening day for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Angels actually named their opening day starter today as well, and that will be Dylan Bundy. Eight games tonight in the NBA. Major League Baseball spring training starts now. And Davis, the other part of this is NFL free agency is also sort of underway. The free tampering period, whatever they call it, is started right now. Aaron Jones announced yesterday that he's going to sign with the Green Bay Packers. And also, just minutes ago, ESPN is reporting that tight end Jonnu Smith is signing a four-year, $50 million deal with the New England Patriots, $30 million guaranteed. So at the very least, Cam Newton has one new weapon going into 2021, which he basically had no weapons in 2020. So any improvement is a good improvement for the Patriots offense.
Yeah, you know, I like Jonnu Smith. I think he's really athletic. I think he's one of the better tight ends in the NFL with the ball in his hands. He can kind of create some yardage, some space on his own once he gets the ball, which a lot of tight ends in the NFL do not do. I mean, you know, Zach Ertz gets like 80 yards a year after the catch. He catches it and falls down. I think Jonnu's a pretty good fit for that McDaniels-Belichick offensive system, but $31 million guaranteed is a lot for Jonnu Smith. The Patriots spent two of their draft picks last year on tight ends Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi, and they took Asiasi kind of, I think he was a third-round draft pick, and then neither Keene nor Asiasi made any on-field impact last year. And I do think the Patriots know that their offensive scheme requires a tight end who can both block and, you know, be successful catching the ball. And that was part of the reason why their offense was so bad last year. I mean, there were a lot of reasons, right?
Right.
Cam Newton came back from COVID and the wide receivers weren't great, but I see what they're trying to do here. And I think that this is a good signing if you don't focus too closely on like, yeah, does Jonnu Smith really deserve $50 million over 4 years? I mean, maybe he does. He also was playing with A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, you know, guys who are really good. But then you also see that like Anthony Firkser and Jeff Swaim were productive players in that Titans offensive, you know, conglomerate. And, you know, maybe, I don't know. I'm going to give this signing like a B+. I think it's pretty strong. I think it's a lot of guaranteed money. But also the Patriots don't owe that many guys a lot of guaranteed money because they're paying Cam Newton like nothing for a quarterback. $14 million is like a backup quarterback salary. They're not paying any wide receivers big money. And Keel Harry on a rookie deal, Jacoby Myers on a rookie deal, you know, so it's probably, it's fine. Like it's fine.
Yeah. And look, and by the way, you know who I'd actually have more interested in next year? More interest in Firkser. I thought Firkser was pretty good, Davis. I think that him getting more time in Tennessee may have me interested, but maybe the Titans go out and get a tight end too. Maybe that could be out the window.
Well, and they also are probably letting Corey Davis go in free agency. He's an unrestricted free agent, and I would imagine that some other team would like to pay him like a number one wide receiver. I mean, he was more productive than A.J. Brown was. He actually out-targeted A.J. Brown for a majority of the season last year. Firkser is pretty interesting, though. Like, basically did not play at all as a rookie or as a second-year player, and then, you know, played a lot more when Jonnu Smith was banged up and injured. I mean, they probably draft or sign somebody, and they probably draft a Corey Davis replacement as well. And Adam Humphries, by the way, is not on that roster. So a lot of changes coming up for the Tennessee Titans offense. But I do think this leads us to like a 200 target AJ Brown season, which is what we all want.
Yeah, with health, no doubt, for sure. Okay, a couple of other quick notes. As I mentioned, Davis Kershaw opening day again for the Dodgers. How about Dylan Bundy starting opening day for the Angels? They had some other choices there. They had Andrew Heaney, Griffin Canning. They're choosing Bundy there. You think that's a – I guess it really doesn't matter if it's the right call or not, because after the first month, you're not facing the aces, but I'm always worried about that when I take a guy and I know who he's going up against. I guess I have to look at the Angels schedule and see. But deserving, you think, opening day?
I mean, I've always kind of been partial to Dylan Bundy. Like, he's a really great strikeout pitcher, a guy we like to use a lot in DFS. What I wanted to see, though, is I wanted to see Ohtani. I want to see Ohtani take the ball on day one. Yeah, true. I mean, that would have been my preference. You know, and the other thing is, I mean, they don't really have a suitable DH replacement for him right now. I mean, if Ohtani was going to start day one, they'd have to put Pujols at DH, which I don't think they want their opening day lineup to have Albert Pujols in it. So maybe if Joe Adell was ready, they would have been able to start Ohtani. But yeah, I mean, I can't be too mad about Dylan Bundy starting day one.
All right, so that's where we're at. Now, coming up next, it's for those of you who are really deep diving, honestly, in fantasy baseball. Every once in a while, we bring you 10 minutes of just players that you may not be considering at all, just to tell you what could happen at some point of the season. And so today is that day here on this Monday. Coming up next, we're going to look at a former first-round pick out of college baseball who was traded for Zach Greinke, who now may factor in a closing situation in Major League Baseball. And on top of that, I want Davis's opinion on drafting two catchers, playing in leagues that you draft two catchers. I don't understand why we do it, but since we are, we'll talk about it. Don't go.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. Some of you are playing in all kinds of different fantasy formats, whether it's fantasy football, baseball, basketball, hockey. And in particular, how we're going to try and help you here a little bit on today's show is dive into a couple of players and topics that may not have been discussed honestly anywhere else. And I take pride in that, talking about players maybe nobody else is. And I can assure you that at some point during the season, we'll look back and say, hey, we talked about that guy and here he is. So for today's show, this is a player that's probably not going to be on anybody's radar and maybe shouldn't be at the beginning of the season. But many years ago, the Houston Astros took J.B. Bukauskas with their first round pick out of the University of North Carolina to be frontlining their starting rotation because they thought, well, Justin Verlander is going to retire. They're going to need some other players. And then the Astros did the unthinkable, which is trade Bukauskas, trade their second round pick, Corbin Martin, trade another first round pick in Seth Beer. And they sent them all to Arizona, all their future picks for Zach Greinke, who still is pitching for the Houston Astros right now. But Bukauskas during the spring has been moved from starting pitcher to relief pitcher, and he spoke with the media after really impressive two different outings where it looks like he has the stuff to control the ninth inning.
It's been really good. I'm really embracing it. I've been a starter for a majority of my career. But, you know, when they came to me and said, I think that this is what we're going to do, I just, you know, embraced it as best I could. And, you know, I'm really excited about it moving forward. And, I think it's actually helped me clean up some things that I needed to work on. Just kind of simplify some stuff and just attack the hitters. So it's been really good.
What are some of those things you're talking about?
Davis, these stories always fascinate me when starters move to the bullpen, when bullpen guys move to starters, because it means the team has identified the player can be better at something else than they're doing right now. So I always take notice of that and start my thinking and start wondering. And I don't think that opening up the season, Bukauskas, even if he makes the team, is going to be the closer. But Davis, when you look at the closer options on the Diamondbacks, I mean, Soria, they signed to a one-year deal. You and I both know he ain't going to be the closer for more than a year, that's for sure. They have basically a setup guy who can also close in Stephen Crichton, who may end up getting the role first before anybody else would get a shot. Tyler Clippard's a one-year guy. Chris Devensky, I threw in here just for the heck of it, but realistically, he's trying to make the team. And again, Bukauskas was one of the centerpieces in that Greinke trade from a couple of years ago. But Davis, I only bring this up because Bukauskas is seeing an uptick in velocity, better control, and it may not be something that happens in April or May, but if you're playing in a deep league and you're looking for saves at the end of the season, someone to stash in a 50-round draft, as crazy as it sounds, I will be taking this guy in the last round or second to last round of a fantasy draft.
Well, it makes organizational sense for the Diamondbacks to do that because they can trade Soria if he's any good, right? On the one-year contract, they can get some cash. They can get, you know, a player to be named later or something like that. For Soria, they can keep Crichton in his setup role, you know, and then this is a way to take a guy that they acquired, you know, very cheaply and who has really barely pitched. I mean, he has like 135 career minor league innings. He is 24 years old, so it's kind of getting to put up or shut up time there's no shame in being in the minor leagues for a while and grinding out a living that way, but it seems like he probably doesn't have the physicality to be a starter, would be my guess, you know, just looking at what he's done in the minor leagues. And we see this happen all the time, right? High pedigree guys, they try and start, they have bad mechanics, they get hurt, and the way that they change things is they turn into a max effort, max velocity closer, and a lot of times those guys have great stuff. They don't have to add a third or a fourth pitch to it. They can just throw one off speed, one fastball. So I'm with you on this guy, because it just makes so much organizational sense for the Diamondbacks to try to get something out of him as a reliever.
Yeah, and look, the Diamondbacks traded a potential huge future Hall of Famer. I would hate to think that they got four guys back and none of them ended up being good, because as of right now, none of them are playing at the big league level for Arizona in that deal for Zach Greinke. Now, the other topic that comes up every year this time of the year is this insistence on playing with two catchers in fantasy baseball. It is just insane, the fact that we keep doing this. The majors don't play with two, but yet in fantasy baseball, we play with two. So a deep dive today. Maybe one potential catcher in the NFBC, he's going somewhere around the 39th, 40th round, is Jacob Stallings of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Showed a little bit of extra pop last season, and his manager, Derek Shelton, commented after he hit another home run in spring training.
Swings, get the ball out front. I mean, you know, Jake had a really good season last year, especially versus left-handed pitching. You know, today he hit the home run off more, which was a good swing that he got the ball out front. So I think it's just extending the contact point out front has been, you know, one of the things that has stood out.
Davis, two catchers in fantasy. This is one position I can never fill. I'm always the guy that takes JT Realmuto, and so it's simple for the first. But why are we still doing this with two in fantasy leagues?
I mean, best I can tell, it's just kind of this is what we've always done, so this is what we're always going to keep doing, right? You know, the OG rotisserie baseball league had two catchers. You know, you play a corner infielder, you play a middle infielder, three or five outfielders. Like, I don't know. It just seems like that's the way it's always been done, and no one particularly feels the urge to change it. Now, if the NFBC next year, they said, we're going to one catcher and we're adding an extra util slot, that would, right. That would change everything, right? Because then if the NFBC did it, in 5 years, every league would be a one catcher league. Now, I think it doesn't seem like we're particularly close to that. It seems like a lot of people just want to stick to the tradition here. But what it ends up doing is you're just drafting guys you've never heard of, guys who are going to get 180 plate appearances, and you really have to go deep diving on these catchers to find guys who are interesting.
All right, so let's take a look at the NFBC, and this is like 39th round, 38th round, and Davis, I don't know if you have any interest in any of these, but guess what? They're all going to be on teams by the time that this draft is over. Max Stassi, another former Houston Astro, at catcher, 402. Here's Stallings for the Pirates at 430. Stallings is going to see playing time virtually every day, maybe more playing time than anyone here on this list. Tyler Stevenson, And then Elias Diaz, who's going to help you on average but do nothing else. I think he's in Colorado, if I'm not mistaken. I don't even know. I'm not sure. Okay, anyone here that's going to end up on your team before this is over?
I don't even really want to give this name out because I'm in a draft with you and Brett right now, and I don't want you guys to find this guy before me, but the Cincinnati Reds really like Tyler Stevenson. They think that he has, like, basically he's kind of the Reds version of Varsho, where he's not a very strong defensive catcher right now, but they think he has a great hit tool, 50 grade hit tool, 65 raw power. His last year in the minors, he had a 361 weighted on base average in double A, hit six home runs over 363 plate appearances, and actually was able to get up to the major leagues last year, played 20 games, hit two home runs, or played in eight games, hit two home runs in those games. And right now they have Tucker Barnhart as the everyday catcher, but kind of in one of those, look, if Stevenson figures out how to call games, we're just going to replace you right away, because Barnhart is nothing, right? Barnhart, like, he, you know, hits 220, has absolutely no power. He's in there basically as a glorified pitcher, batting number nine for the Reds. But Stevenson has a legit hit tool. So if he shows that he can call games, that he can, you know, has the pop to throw guys out, I think that Stevenson could be a top 10 fantasy baseball catcher. So I hope that I didn't give him away to you and Brett in this draft we're doing, but he is the second catcher I'm really focusing on in these leagues right now.
Yeah, I don't know who to identify for 2020. I'd have to really think through this. It's a bad job by me coming into this. But every year, there are catchers that virtually go undrafted that end up in the top 10. And so maybe this is the guy. Mitch Garver was that guy 2 years ago, and then he fell off last year. But there's going to be someone that we're not talking about right now that's going to end up offensively being a top 10 catcher in baseball because they just pop. And usually it's guys that just do it April, May, and June, and then they get tired, slow down, and that's it. But at the end of the season, you look at the stats, and they ended up having a great year. Who is that guy this year? Maybe it'll be Steven.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Maybe it'll be Stallings. Who will win your fantasy league for you? Hitting and pitching. Davis has those answers next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Davis Matic here with you until 2 o'clock Eastern. Thanks for joining us here on the show. Those of you who are getting ready for your fantasy baseball drafts, we definitely have you covered all the way through opening day. Also have you covered on a lot of college basketball talk. In fact, I would say 80 to 90% of the content here on Sports Grid leading up to March Madness on Thursday and Friday is covered there. Here on this show, we talk about it all. Baseball, football, basketball, NFL free agency as well. But Davis, pretty much we're at the point here where we're basically 2 weeks out, a little bit longer than that, until opening day. You've had your hands now on a few drafts and have identified some players that you think are going to win your league if you take them this year. The fun part about this is that you have four for hitters, four for pitchers. The attempt is to go, I guess, three out of four on the hitters and three out of the four on the pitchers, because we know the way that sports works and the way life works. If you're above 50% at anything, you're doing great. So give me who you got at hitters that you think are going to help you win a fantasy league if you take them. And did you take them in all of your leagues too? I think that's important as well.
Yeah, I've been taking all of these guys in my leagues. And I kind of just want to contextualize it a little bit here. The way I play fantasy sports, football, baseball, basketball, everything is I do not care about finishing second place. Like, literally, it just does not matter to me to make the playoffs or to be competitive. I like to win. And when you do that, you are going to be be selecting players who have a wider range of outcomes, because that wide range of outcomes is why they're cheap, right? If a guy has first overall at his position upside, and he's not going at first overall in his position, it means that there's something wrong with him, right? Injury, you know, for baseball, it's, you know, guys have bad batting averages, guys play on bad teams. You know, there's just a lot of different reasons. So the four guys I have highlighted are Alberto Mondesi, Dalton Varsho, Shohei Ohtani, and Jared Kelenic. I guess that you could say Ohtani could be a league winner from either way. On Mondesi, it's pretty simple. He is a pretty strong threat to lead all of Major League Baseball in steals, but you don't have to take him in the first round because he has a quote-unquote bad batting average. Now, his career batting average is .251. He hit .276 in 2018, .263 in 2019, and .256 last year in the short sample. I think he is the number one player to take above ADP in the NFBC main event and other overall formats because he 60 steals, 20 home runs, .260 batting average. We think that Royals offense is going to be decent. We talked about Varsho early in the show. He's one of those catchers who has real offensive upside. He's not going to be up to start the year, but I think that he will get up, and I think that he will hit when he gets there. Otani, I mean, we're talking about a guy who is going to play in a lineup that we think is much improved, and the only thing that you can say negative about him has been his health. .355 weighted on-base average in his career, .234 ISO, yet he's going as like a fourth outfielder in fantasy baseball. Without the injury concerns, he goes in the fifth round, probably. And then Kelenic is really interesting because the market is starting to cool on him due to the fact that he's not going to be up to start the year, and he's banged up. But this is the number one prospect. This is a guy who is 21 years old and has just crushed at every level of competition he's been in. And I go the other way than most fantasy baseball analysts. I want to take on all that risk. For a guy who can provide me with the potential season that Kelenic could have, you do not have to pay for that, right? You're paying for... he's going as like a Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder in ADP. But in the situation where Kelenic comes up and plays, he crushes it, right? And you don't have to pay for all that. So that's where I'm at on the hitters.
Yeah, and look, I think I don't know that Varsho is a league winner, but I think that the other three players have a legitimate chance to do it. Look, I know a lot about Varsho. I'd heard about him a couple of years ago on my shows. I was mentioning him then. It's only because of the position eligibility that he's a potential league winner.
Yes.
I don't see him.
Correct.
Yeah. I don't like, for example, if Dalton Varsho comes up this year and hits 11 home runs and steals 5 bases, that's great, but that's not a league winner for me. But the other guys are. And so that's kind of what I would project Varsho to be. And he needs guys to get moved for him to play too. And Kelly bounces back at catcher. But if the Diamondbacks are bad, that's a game changer for Varsho. If they're okay, I don't think he's going to play all that much. I just don't see it. But okay, now over to the pitching side of it. Davis, we have one pitcher. I don't know if you did this before or after the injury, but Steven Strasburg, and then three very high K per nine guys, if they can just get it all together. A couple bullpen guys as well.
Yeah, so Steven Strasburg leads our list here. And the only reason he's on this list is because the ADP now reflects the injury concerns. And he got banged up again, which is going to cause his ADP to go higher. But this is a guy who's going to win 15 games. He will have probably a 3.5-ish ERA, but has had multiple seasons of sub-3 ERAs, has always been above 10 Ks per inning. And you are buying the health, but you're not even forced to buy the ceiling, right? So in his current ADP, you have to buy that he'll be healthy, but you don't have to buy the 2017 season where he looked like the best pitcher in baseball. And I do still think he has some of that ceiling. And then the other guys here are true league winners where there is no cost associated with them. They're free. You can cut them. But when these guys work out, they literally meet the definition of league winners. So for Nate Pearson, we've already talked about the K per nines. We've talked about Pearson a bunch on this show, but former, you know, super top prospect, a 70 future value guy who was awful last year in the major leagues, couldn't control the walks, but absolutely rolled over everyone in the minors. James Karinczak, you're not going to see him on very many fantasy baseball lists, but these are his K per nines over the last three, or his K rates. 48% of batters face he struck out last year, 36% the year before, and then not a typo, 53% of batters faced in 2018 he struck out. He's going to get the first crack at closing in Cleveland. He was great last year. He's only 25 years old. If they decide to trade him, right? So if they trade him as a closer, he should go to a better situation, more wins. And then Taylor Rogers is getting discounted because it's not clear how many saves he will get. The market has kind of decided that Alex Colome is going to get more saves than him. But Rogers has a better track record as a truly dominant reliever. And it's, again, another super high K rate guy, a guy who will be good for your ratios, even if he is in that setup role. So something I've really been trying to do, because I, like you, don't want to pay for Hader. I don't want to pay for Chapman. I don't want to pay for Liam Hendricks. I've just been trying to find these lower end relievers who have a little bit of volatility to their games, and trying to project out which ones have upside in terms of keeping the job and upside in terms of strikeouts.
Yeah, I think for me here, not so much on Strasburg, but based on the ADP, I could understand it. Pearson would be a no because I just haven't seen it yet. And until I see it, it's hard for me to believe it. But the true definition of this are those two guys that you mentioned at the end, because it is such a big mistake to invest in the closer early. And one thing that never gets talked about, Davis, is that this feeling of comfort when you do take that guy early, when you do take that closer in the first six or seven rounds or even eight, and you don't throw your dice at Karinchak or Rogers because you feel, oh, I already got that covered. It doesn't really apply to the NFBC as much, again, because it just depends in the points leagues. It doesn't apply at all. But if you're playing at leagues where you're chasing saves, there's that false sense of security when you take the guys at the top that you've done a good job.
Yep.
When it is so volatile. I mean, it's almost to me, when I do that, I want to double down on that at the end just to make sure that I've solidified that. So I think those are two really good examples at the end, especially Karinchak on Cleveland. You're right. This guy showed so much. And there's no doubt that, I mean, to be 25 years old, I don't think Cleveland's totally in rebuild yet. Like, I think it's coming, but I don't think they're there yet. So I don't really have concerns about him getting traded this year. And I think Rogers is second to Colome. And for me, it's because, Davis, they're a winning team and the Twins are going to win a lot of games, and Colome is going to have a really long leash there. And while they did use different players in the past, and May, I know, was part of that too, I think Rogers is probably better than Colome, I think because they paid him and gave him millions and it's a good team.
Yep.
I don't know. I think Rogers might, unless something would happen to Colome injury-wise, I think under 10 saves for me. But again, the last round.
Well, that's the thing, too, is drafting setup guys who are one injury away from being in there for sure.
Sure.
So we talked about the Diamondbacks last segment, and we think it would go to Crichton, but it might not for sure. For Rogers, we know for a fact if something it's like drafting handcuff running backs. The best handcuff running backs, it's like Latavius Murray with Alvin Kamara. If Kamara gets hurt, Latavius is going in there. You're not going to see Ty Montgomery and Dwayne Washington. It's going to be all Latavius. And I think that analogy gets kind of lost in fantasy baseball. And some guys get priced way up. Like Devin Williams, I don't think is a league winning player behind Josh Hader, because you're really paying for him to get 10 of those saves. Mm-hmm. But with Taylor Rogers, you're not even really paying for the saves we think he's going to get anyways. You're paying for the decent ratios, but the fact that he could go into 32 saves if something happens to Colome, you're not really having to pay for that right now.
Yeah, interesting names for sure as we continue on here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to kick in a little fantasy or reality, and we're seeing such a growth on all kinds of secondary type investments like baseball cards, NFTs. The Oakland A's have decided to sort of jump into, but in a way that's a little bit more traditional than that, accepting cryptocurrency as payment for 2021. Will this be the beginning of something, or are the A's going to be alone in their effort to kind of get this a little bit more mainstream? I find that interesting. We'll talk about that next, right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. So make sure you stay on the grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Two coaching changes in college basketball today. Both Indiana and DePaul have fired their respective head coaches as we head toward Thursday and Friday. And Davis, I know that you'll have it covered for us right here on Friday. And it's going to be a lot of fun, a little in-game live. You ready for your four-hour college basketball extravaganza on Friday? Is that noon to 4 Eastern?
I mean, I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be. I mean, it'll be great to, you know, watch the games and everything, have it on. And, you know, I'm hoping my boys blew it and the rest of the gang are ready to get through it. And I got my sports wagering accounts ready to fire because, you know, if I'm going to be watching these games, you best believe we're getting action on all of them. We are going to be chasing it hard.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the tournament, and it looks like we're going to have a fun one going on here on Sports Grid, so got to get that entered. Get our picks in before Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday will be our four straight days of almost 18 hours, I believe, of coverage right here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. So make sure you like and subscribe to our show, especially if you're watching live on YouTube. Set your notifications to on and catch all of our coverage throughout the week. We got it for you right here on Sports Grid. Okay. Fantasy or reality? We have not talked enough, I think, about Drew Brees today. Drew Brees announced his retirement on Sunday. His kids announced it on Instagram saying daddy's going to spend a lot more time at home. And then all of a sudden, Drew Brees the next day basically said, well, kids, I'm going to be leaving you guys every Saturday and doing Monday night or Sunday night football on NBC. Okay, so the debate now begins. Drew Brees retires. The stats will back this up, but will Davis back it up as well? Fantasy or reality, Drew Brees is a top five all-time NFL quarterback. Fantasy or reality?
So I think this is probably going to be a sacrilegious opinion, but I don't think he is, right? So you start your list and you have Brady as, you know, number one probably. Mm-hmm. Then you put Peyton in there, right? And then you have to start adding criteria. So do you go, well, do I care about Super Bowls? Do I care about statistical achievements? I think that you probably put Steve Young in there because Steve Young was a combination of championships and incredible on-field performance. And then you have to go, all right, well, you know, am I putting guys like Bart Starr and Johnny Unitas and those guys? And for me, like, I can't pretend to be like, oh yeah, you know, I remember Bart Starr. He's one of the greatest ever. So then I guess there's probably a reasonable argument to put him there at like 4 or 5, except just here's the thing. Does anyone believe that when it all is said and done, that Mahomes is not going to have won more championships, more MVPs, and acquired more yards and touchdowns than Drew Brees? Like unless he breaks his back, I think you're just already putting him in there. So I'll say right now it's a reality. But he's going to be replaced by the time in a decade, we will already have a different opinion and he will have been replaced. So I'll give him his moment in the sun right now, but I think he will probably be replaced in the future.
Yeah, I would not even put him there right now, but he's had a wonderful career and he's a top five quarterback over the last 20 years. There's no question about that. But you mentioned Brady and you mentioned Manning. You did not mention Joe Montana. And Joe Montana is absolutely in the top five of all time. You did not mention Dan Marino, who is absolutely in the top five of all time. And then I can even go a little bit further.
Isn't Marino just like Drew Brees, but from the 80s? Like, that's always the comparison. And I literally have never watched him play. Like, I don't know.
At a time where he was the only one doing what he was doing, when Drew Brees was doing it, the entire league was doing it. So, I mean, their league was a running league when Dan Marino was around. It's just his defense was never good enough to get him there. But yeah, I got Marino, I got Montana ahead of him for sure. I probably have Brett Favre, I probably have Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to say no. He's not a top five NFL quarterback of all time. He's a top five guy in the era that he played in over the last two decades, without a doubt. But like Dan Fouts' numbers are, you know, not what Drew Brees' are, but I could make the case Dan Fouts was as good as Drew Brees when he played too. And it's, again, a different, and I'm not going all the way back to what you're, you know, the era that you're speaking about for me, but not for me, but definitely in the conversation for sure. Statistics wise, those are backed up without a doubt. Okay. The Oakland A's announced on Saturday that if you purchase a suite for the entire season, you can do it by purchasing it with Bitcoin, not to mention purchasing it with one Bitcoin. Now, right now, again, Bitcoin is the kind of thing that's going to go up and down. But at the moment, I didn't check what it was this morning, but I believe it's hovering around the 58,000, 59,000 for one Bitcoin type thing. Remember, this time last year, it was 4,000. It is now almost 60,000. Fantasy reality, Davis. The A's will be the only club in baseball to allow payments in Bitcoin this season. As of right now, as far as I know, they are the only ones. Maybe I am wrong about this, but I looked around a little bit yesterday. I did not see anybody else taking Bitcoin. Fantasy reality, the A's will be the only club in baseball to allow Bitcoin payments this season.
I will say fantasy. I mean, another, like, because this is like a first mover thing. Once one team does it, it just becomes infinitely more likely that another team would do it. And by the way, the type of people who have disposable income during a global pandemic, are probably going to be people who loaded up on Bitcoin, people who've been buying, every day for the last couple of years, or people who got into it really early. So I'll say that another team will do it. You know, it's probably more likely to happen in the NBA, where you have younger, more tech-minded, tech-savvy owners of these organizations, or people who are in business ops. So I guess club suggests baseball, but I do think we'll see this happen. And, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm probably the biggest Bitcoin person on Sports Grid. Like, I've been evangelizing Bitcoin, you know, ever since I found out about it. I have a weekly buy that goes through. Like, I have spent the last 4 or 5 years of my life being super, super interested and super, super invested in Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think I did know that a little bit. I think I did. But, you know, for me, this came up last year at this time. So you can only imagine how happy I am with that happening last year at this time, being invested in that. So I probably am not in it as much as you. I'm not sure. We'd have to compare and contrast notes. I will say also with you, I will say fantasy. I would imagine that there's going to be more adoption of this. Now, I don't know about to the degree of purchasing a suite for the season, because I think that some teams are inherently going to be scared of this. It doesn't shock me that this is happening in the Bay Area in California as one of the first adopters of it. But I would say that Bitcoin payments will be able to be paid. And it wouldn't also shock me that a stadium name eventually is named after, not necessarily the cryptocurrency, but one of the companies that inherently is allowing you to buy and sell cryptocurrency. That, to me, they're going to have a name on a stadium somewhere. And I know that one of them is actually happening in South Florida at the Miami Heat arena. They're renaming that. So that's coming to baseball too. Take the money is what I always say. All right, let's move on. Luis Guillorme of the New York Mets had a 22 plus pitch at bat on Sunday against Jordan Hicks of the St. Louis Cardinals. And it was really, truly something to behold, especially if you caught the 1 minute YouTube video of it. Fantasy reality, you have seen an 18 pitch at bat, Davis, in person.
So this is a fantasy. I don't recall ever seeing 18 plus. I mean, maybe though, because a lot of the Royals teams that I used to watch, they had really pesky hitters. I mean, you know, like Alex Gordon, Salvador Perez takes a ton, you know, Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, those were guys who just would absolutely milk plate appearances to the core. And actually, I was there in person at the biggest comeback ever in Kansas City Royals history. They were down 8-1 in the ninth inning to the Chicago White Sox at home, and then came back and scored 9 runs and ended up winning the game in the bottom of the ninth at that game. I would imagine there were probably some pretty intense plate appearances there, but just off the top of my head, I cannot recall 18 plus pitches, but that doesn't mean for sure that it wasn't true. Those Royals teams in the early aughts, they love some long plate appearances.
Yeah, I've seen so many games in person, and I can't recall this number specifically. So I'm going to have to say fantasy, but it could be a reality because I don't know. But it does lend me to bring up the topic that always comes up when I do these watching baseball in person stories, because I've been to so many games in the past 40 years or whatever it is. Davis, the one thing that has always eluded me is a no-hitter. I have never seen a no-hitter in person with all of the baseball that I've gone to and all the baseball that I've covered. And it has happened here in South Florida many times. And just by luck, I have not been at those games, whether it's been covering them or as a fan. And every game that I go to now, and I'm sitting there through like the fourth, fifth inning, and they haven't given up a hit, I'm always thinking to myself, is this going to be the time that I get to see one? Came very close a couple of years ago. Max Scherzer had a no-hitter going into the ninth inning against the Marlins for Washington and ended up losing the game. But I have never seen a no-hitter in person. I don't know. It just has always escaped me.
I also have never seen a no-hitter in person. I think I've gotten to the seventh inning of one. It was a visiting team against the Royals back in the day. It's been so long, I don't even remember who it is. But much like you, you know, you're always, and I would assume, you know, you've been to so many more games than me. Your odds have to have been better than mine. But yeah, that's totally a bucket list thing of like, you got to be there in person to see a no-hitter. I've probably been to, 200 baseball games in my life. I also have never caught a foul ball. Not once, ever. Which is, that feels very unlucky to have never been able to catch a foul ball.
Yeah, I haven't done it in a long time because I usually go as the media. When I bring my son, I just go as a fan. But yeah, I think I caught one. I've caught a few, I want to say. Yeah, I definitely have caught a few sitting in the stands. But yeah, that is a little odd. Maybe that should be something that you try to do this year. I went to Home Run Derby a couple of years ago and sat in the outfield right where all the home runs were being hit in Miami, and I did not catch one. But I was like right in the – and I did it actually at Citi Field too for the Mets All-Star – when the Mets had the All-Star game, sat also in left field, did not catch one. But I have caught a batting practice home run that I have done. I actually videoed it we're going back many, many years ago. So I can cross those two things off. But no hitters, perfect games has escaped me. Every championship across the board you can mention. College football, college basketball, NFL, NBA, been to it all. Never seen a no hitter. Maybe this is the year. Hopefully so. All right, we got to take a break here on the show. We come back. It is time for the Sports Grid 60. Davis and I will have one final opinion here on the program. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Josh Cohen rejoins us after a week off from PC Sports Cards. So he is going to jump on with us and tell us what is hot, what you should be buying, what you should be selling. I know one of our topics will be really interesting for Davis on tomorrow's show. We're going to focus on the cards of Bobby Witt Jr., who is approaching levels of prices on cards that are only have been seen by one player since he's a rookie, and that's Mike Trout. So kind of off the charts there, higher than anybody else. So we'll have that and talk grading also on tomorrow's show as well. So make sure you stay tuned at the 1 o'clock Eastern hour right here on Sports Grid. We'll be back with the Sports Grid 60. So stay with us, back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. It is time for the Sports Grid 60, 60 seconds of commentary. We do it every day right at the end of our show. And we both, I think, have something interesting to discuss today with you guys. So let's find out what's on the mind of Davis Maddock as we close it out today. Davis, what you got?
So much like our producer, Brett Levy, I'm also in the market of trying to buy a house. And first time house buyer, and it's an insane market right now. You know, if you're not in the arena of buying houses, it's absolutely insane. People are doing anything they can to get their hands on a house. And people are waiving inspections to get their bids accepted, right? Makes it much easier on the seller, makes it much easier on the agent, reduces the costs, and makes more money go to the realtor. And I just am putting this out there into the universe right now. I'm not willing to waive an inspection. Imagine in a fantasy trade, if you had the ability to add a clause into a fantasy trade that, oh, you know, if this trade doesn't work out for me, we can actually just switch it back, you know? And I can't imagine the mind state of people who are like, you know what? I need this house so bad. I got to waive the inspection. So that's what I'm putting out there in the universe today for the Sports Grid 60. Don't waive the inspections, people.
I didn't even know that that was an option. I haven't had a lot of experience buying a home because we've lived in the same home now for, I want to say, about 15 years when we bought it. But inspections were a major part of us selling an apartment and buying a home, and I don't see that going away anytime soon. Well, the irony of sports kind of kicks in big time today as Rick Pitino is back in the NCAA tournament with Iona, and his son, according to published reports, is in trouble as far as his coaching at the University of Minnesota. Would it be possible that Rick Pitino would leave Iona and go coach at the school that his son may end up getting fired at in Minnesota? I don't know that I've ever even considered that possibly happening in the history of sports, and I don't know what the future holds for Rick Pitino. I tell you, the NCAA tournament, having him back in it is a good thing, regardless of what you think about it, because it does create an interesting story. But wouldn't that be something? That'll do it for our show today. Thank you again to James at LTN and Brett, Danny, and Ryan, and my co-host Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Hope you have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow here at noon Eastern.